Thank you, Allison. And good morning, as it still is morning. Just one correction on my introduction. Baylor University is in Waco, and Baylor College of Medicine, my employer, is in Houston. There's a lot of confusion about those Baylors, thanks to a big event in Waco several years ago. Anyway, in addition to the titles given, I am also Executive Director of the Center for Vaccine Awareness and Research at Texas Children's Hospital and immediate past president of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, or NFID, who really organized the research. The H1N1 pandemic has certainly heightened public awareness and interest in influenza. While influenza may now be viewed as a more serious infectious disease that can wreak havoc in a community and result in hospitalizations and sometimes even deaths, the public generally has a short attention span, and I consider myself part of the public, and can easily become complacent or distracted if other threats arise and influenza declines. So in this session, I'm going to take a close look at why parents would forgo influenza vaccine for their children and what information and messaging would help them change that behavior. The Childhood Influenza Immunization Coalition, or CIIC, of which I serve as chair, was established by NFID in 2007 to increase pediatric influenza immunization rates and to support the movement toward universal pediatric influenza immunization. CIIC comprises 32 medical, public health, and parent organizations, recognizing the need for many stakeholders to come together with harmonized messages. The coalition conducted consumer research and messaging testing in the summer of 2009 so that we could ensure our messages were in line with the rapidly changing information and motivational needs of parents. Our findings have been incorporated into a multi-channel influenza communications program. This synergistic approach to influenza communications differs from the traditional public awareness campaigns in that it leverages its members' ability to reach target audiences at multiple touch points. CIIC plans to enhance our current research efforts in the coming year of 2010-2011 to see what might have changed since the last season and to gain further insight into parents' thinking and behavior. Once the results are analyzed, we will make the data available to many stakeholders. All coalition activities are supported by an unrestricted educational grant from Sanofi Pasteur. Every year, influenza causes up to 100 pediatric deaths and an estimated 20,000 hospitalizations. This year, children were especially vulnerable because of H1N1. According to CDC influenza estimates, 1,230 pediatric deaths occurred between April 2009 and January 2010. During the same period, pediatric hospitalizations were at an estimated 82,000. Pediatric influenza immunization age-based recommendations have been expanding in recent years so that we could reduce this burden among children. However, rates remain low, leaving children vulnerable to influenza and its complications. During the 2008-2009 influenza season, seasonal vaccination coverage for those 6 months to 18 years of age was a disappointing 24%. During the 2009-2010 season for H1N1 only, 36.8% of children were immunized, again, leaving much room for improvement. But perhaps parents are starting to understand that vaccination saves lives. Our research program to date has been multi-pronged. We started with 8 30 to 45 minute telephone interviews with pediatricians. These interviews were designed to gain an understanding of their attitudes and approaches to influenza prevention. We sought not only to determine what these physicians think, but also what they think parents are thinking about influenza and vaccination for their children. An additional qualitative phase included 4 2-hour focus groups representing a mix of non-vaccinator and inconsistent vaccinator mothers. These focus groups allowed us to explore the attitudes and behaviors of a small targeted population so that we could formulate insights and hypotheses that could be tested in a national survey. For the national survey, we worked with Opinion Research Company to conduct 4 2-hour focus groups among 500 mothers geographically dispersed throughout the United States. Also, these participants in the large survey were ethnically diverse. To qualify, respondents had to have children aged 6 months through 18 years living within their household. There was a good mix of mothers with younger children and those with older children, as well as of those with only one child versus multiple children. I want to emphasize to you that while the centerpiece of our research has been seasonal influenza and the seasonal influenza vaccine, given the H1N1 outbreak that emerged during the period of our research, we also examined seasonal influenza in the context of concerns over the pandemic. Similar to what we discovered during the physician interviews and small focus group research, mothers did not rate seasonal influenza as serious as other vaccine-preventable diseases like polio, measles, or even varicella. At the time, mothers perceived the seasonal influenza to be less serious than H1N1, but more serious than the common cold. In terms of the impact of seasonal influenza on a family, 82% of respondents agreed that seasonal flu actually packs a fairly significant punch, or at least has some impact on family functioning. In other words, if a child is ill with seasonal influenza infection, it's not just business as usual for the family. The impact of seasonal flu was rated similar to that of a stomach virus or strep throat, but was rated significantly higher than an ear infection and the common cold. We were a bit surprised when we asked respondents to identify what would concern them most if their child contracted seasonal influenza. While the small focus group participants did not seem particularly concerned with flu spreading through their families, 91% of our large survey participants identified the whole family getting sick as a top concern. Related concerns like your child missing school and you or your spouse missing work were often cited as well by 75% and 70% of participants respectively. One key issue that was raised by the focus group participants, concern over their child's suffering, was also cited by 74% of the national survey participants. When the data were further analyzed, we noticed that, not surprisingly, mothers who rated seasonal influenza as more severe were significantly more likely to be concerned about all the issues listed here except missing vacations and social events. I debated whether or not to share this information with you since it reflects mothers' thinking last summer, but I think it's relevant as we prepare for the upcoming season. Survey participants were split as to whether H1N1 had heightened their concern over the severity of seasonal influenza, with 48% more concerned, but 50% said that H1N1 had no effect on their thinking about seasonal influenza. So minus the threat of the pandemic flu, we can expect parents and physicians to become more complacent about vaccination. Vaccination rates cited by survey participants were in line with, though somewhat higher, than vaccination rates in other recently reported surveys. So 40% of participants said that they never vaccinate their children against influenza. 35% said they vaccinate all, actually 30%, or some, 5%, of their children for seasonal flu annually. One quarter said that they vaccinate their children occasionally in some years, but not in others. Mothers cited multiple reasons for not vaccinating their children. The most frequently cited reasons, a belief that a child was healthy and therefore didn't need the vaccine, was cited by 63% of the participants. And the belief that there are other ways to avoid influenza that are just as effective, cited by 57% of participants. This confirms our hypothesis based on the findings from the small focus groups regarding the importance of what we refer to as magical or wishful thinking. There is a tendency to believe that healthy kids aren't susceptible to influenza. And in my practice, this sometimes applies to other illnesses. If your child is healthy, they'll always be healthy. Or that the influenza can be avoided by means like hand washing and avoiding sick people. Good luck avoiding sick people if you're a child. The next most popular response is that the pediatrician left seasonal influenza vaccination up to the parent and usually the mother, and they chose not to vaccinate. This also supported findings from the small focus group that mothers enjoy the freedom of choice that they do not have with required childhood vaccines. And without a strong physician recommendation, they likely will not seek annual influenza vaccination for their children. Interestingly, in contrast to the qualitative findings from the pediatrician and small mother focus group, where many participants can seem concerned about the vaccine, that it would give their child the flu, only one third of participants in the national study even cited this concern. When asked to narrow down their reasoning, I think I'm on the wrong side, so give me a second.
It's a back arrow.
Okay. It's this one. When asked to narrow down their reasoning to the one single most important reason for not having their children vaccinated annually, 45% of mothers just didn't think the vaccine was necessary. Statements that address concerns about the vaccine were mentioned by 23% of mothers as their primary reason for not having their children vaccinated annually. This was followed by 17% of mothers who said their pediatricians didn't recommend it. To further support the survey, only 5% of survey, the previous slide, only 5% of survey participants said that their primary reason for not having their children vaccinated was a belief that influenza vaccine causes the illness. Okay. Having a slide issue with myself. When we asked participants whether they believed seasonal influenza vaccine was safe, effective, and important to keep healthy children healthy, mothers gave the vaccine fairly high ratings for each of these. 70% excellent and good safety rating was higher than what we might have expected based on the initial focus groups, where many participants voiced concerns. Only 11% were not sure the vaccine works, 7% were not sure the vaccine is safe, and 5% thought the vaccine can cause the flu. Two-thirds ended up saying that they thought vaccination is important to keep the child healthy, so there's still room for improvement with the one-third who didn't think this. We also noticed that mothers' perceptions of vaccine safety and efficacy seem to go hand in hand with vaccination. In other words, people who thought the vaccine was safe and effective and important also tended to think it was effective and should be given annually. The 18 messages we presented to the national survey respondents were formulated based on insights gleaned from qualitative findings. When we compared the response to various messages among both groups of mothers who regularly have their children vaccinated for seasonal flu versus those who not do not regularly have their children vaccinated, we found that there was a great deal of consistency. The messages on this chart represent the top 10 messages for mothers who don't regularly have their children vaccinated. But as you can see, that the top 4 messages seem to resonate among both groups of mothers. In fact, healthy kids die from the flu was the number 1 message among both groups of parents. A pediatric death from flu is as tragic as from any other cause also seemed to resonate strongly in both population of mothers, as did know your flu facts, do all you can to protect your children. Another message that resonated with both groups was flu is hard on the body and disruptive to families. Vaccination is easy. Showing that mothers responded to messages that provided both emotional and rational reasons to vaccinate their children. What we learned from our research to date, how mothers perceive the severity of flu, their concern over their child's discomfort, their tendency to fall back on magical versus rational thinking where flu protection is concerned, and their desire to be in control of vaccination decisions, led us to some strategic takeaway messages. We recommend focusing efforts on mothers who don't regularly have their children vaccinated for influenza, some of whom are already positively inclined towards vaccine safety, importance, and efficacy, and others who are not as convinced of the vaccine's attributes. The good news is that based on similarity in reaction to messages in our survey, many of the same messages will likely resonate with mothers who regularly have their children vaccinated as well. Because survey participants responded positively to a wide range of messages, we recommend taking a multi-channeled, multi-pronged approach to messaging, focusing on both rational and emotional messages, emphasizing those that speak to the necessity of vaccination and those that dispel concerns over the vaccine, along with messages that emphasize that the vaccine is physician recommended. And market segmentation might also be worthwhile to explore the target key demographic or geographic populations that are currently less friendly to vaccination. The Coalition has developed a communication tool for its members outlining our key messages that can be easily used for incorporating into educational materials, for answering questions, or talking to parents and colleagues. I have handouts of this document here for those of you who might be interested. Market research and message testing will continue to be at the core of the Coalition's strategy, which integrates national and local media, advocacy, and social media. The results help to inform our communication and the communications of the Coalition members to their constituencies. I would like to end by thanking the Coalition members who have provided guidance and input into this research program and have been instrumental in making sure the messages reached our key audiences. I welcome all of you to visit our website or contact me if you would like additional information on this research or information on the Coalition. Thank you very much.